You are listening to the OneOfUs.net Podcast Network.
You've listened to OneOfUs.net for years. Quality shows that have made you laugh and maybe even cry. But did you know they produce podcasts that you may not have even heard of? For just a few dollars a month, you have the opportunity to hear quality podcasts like The Breakfast Pub,
The Game Bowl 2016, get hyped, motherfuckers,
The Original Gentleman.
I see this as an avenue to you becoming a huge chick magnet.
Oh, yeah.
And the Watch a Movie With Us series.
By the way, anybody thinking that his makeup is a little bit heavy here does not remember the 80s.
Oh, she's thinking about banking babies right now.
Oh, it turned into a phallic symbol.
Become a subscriber to OneOfUs.net and choose your level of giving from Red Shirt, Brown Coat, Time Lord, and Jedi. And know that your donation will help bring quality oral entertainment to you for years to come. Thank you. And may Cthulhu devour your house last.
Some speculation going on right now that perhaps it's DC's movie department that are actually the Suicide Squad.
Honestly, I don't envy them because, like, I was telling Joe right after the movie ended, and I mean this in the most positive way possible. This is going to sound like a joke, but I actually really respect the people who had to go and chop that movie up and edit it because that couldn't have been easy. Because, like, as much as I know a few people here didn't enjoy it, I know they did a lot of work on it because you can, the tone just shifts.
I could tell by how hard you were squeezing my hand during the movie.
One of the easiest ways to tell something like that, I mean, almost not everything in the trailer wasn't in the movie, but
they cut a lot out.
There were a lot of things in the trailers that weren't in the final cut of the movie, and that's evident of editors having lots of issues with
all those reshoots.
What they were giving.
Yeah,
reshoots don't necessarily mean something bad, but in this particular case, it really did feel like this thing was. Had a lot of moving of the pieces around. Yeah.
I'm willing to bet that a lot of the reshoots took place when they were doing all that whole jokey bits after the big fights and things like that, where it was just incredibly awkward and just like, okay, let's just move on to the next scene, I suppose.
And some of that worked and some of it didn't for me. Like, yeah, there are jokey moments that are so, like, you're like, what? Why would anybody even say that? It doesn't make sense.
Those jokers must be crazy.
I feel sorry for not the movie, but the people involved in the movie because, look, Zack Snyder decided that he was going to shit tar all over the DC universe because it had to be dark.
Yeah.
But and so then Suicide Squad was along that same trajectory, and then they're like, "Oh shit, Deadpool's funny. We could do that, right?" And,
let's go to a hot topic.
And so like, yeah, they change it, and then it becomes a Frankenstein's monster of idea parts.
Mm-hmm.
When you know, if Snyder was actually halfway decent at planning movies, he could have been like, "No, see, these are going to be really dark, and Superman's dead and shit." Spoiler alert! But then Superman
they
comes
hammer
back,
the film.
And he's already Jesus, aka the Sun. So then it lightens. You know, he could have gone with that, but yeah, he just.
Oh my God, you're right.
So you mentioned Deadpool, and to me, this felt like a half measure to try to get to Deadpool because it's PG-13. Like none of the action or violence is particularly well filmed at all.
Well, I mean, Margot Robbie's labia did its damn.
Yeah, yeah, well, it was
good.
This film stars Margot Robbie and it co-stars her ass because you see that more than half the Suicide Squad.
Like, I can understand how some people might complain about that. I am not personally one of them. I am a huge fan of Margot Robbie's. I got an autographed picture of Margot Robbie's ass.
She's a beautiful woman, and I of course I'm like attracted to her. But at the same time, it's like Okay, I get it. I mean, you're showing her ass.
Like, here's the thing. When I was watching Wonder Woman, I complained because Wonder Woman was wearing multiple outfits
that
were
boots.
All, like, split like a V all the way down to her navel. You're like, why is every outfit she wears, like, a, you know, looks like she's a high-priced call girl?
Well, mm-hmm.
Here, she's just wearing the one outfit. And so I'm like, I have less of a problem with that if that's just her uniform, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But that being said, let's talk about what Suicide Squad is actually about.
Let's,
it's actually about.
Talk about.
This is where we're going to.
I'm sorry,
I
was just doing my Jared Leto impression.
I thought you were taking a shit on the couch.
You know all those rumors you heard of? I mean, not rumors, the fact that he was basically gifting all of his used condoms to all of his co-stars. He pretty much was probably coming in all the condoms when he was filming this movie. Just in the fucking scenes when he was doing it.
Well, what the hell do you do with condoms?
Yeah, like, do you just wear them like
you don't? You don't come in them when you're acting on set.
You don't.
Maybe you don't. Yeah.
Like, do you just wear them like in South Park?
Yeah, with Case.
Yeah. Or what was that? What party movie was that where the guy was like, they took his pants down and he was wearing a condom?
Oh, I don't remember at this point.
I think it's all a deep cut one. But
yeah. Like, fired up.
Anyway, Viola Davis plays Amanda Waller, the biggest scumbag working in the DC government that, for some reason, none of the superheroes ever try to take out themselves. I've never figured that out.
You're like, she's
clearly a villain.
She's not a nice lady. Yeah. So
she's fucking scary, man.
She is. Yeah.
She's one of the few characters, I think, up and down, I think, for me, personally, I think she worked. Just because of her intention of as a character. And how scary she is.
Well, she makes a good balance for all the rest of the psychopaths in this film, because she's the biggest psychopath of them all.
Guys, she knows how to get away with murder.
Aside from her dialogue, I agree with you, Jason. Yeah.
She has the legal mandate to be a bad guy, because she's the one who runs the super dark prison in Louisiana, of course.
Yeah, Terrebonne Parish.
That's where all the film incentives are.
Exactly. Yeah,
like, for Belle Reve in this case.
Yeah. And she's worried about there being, in this age of super people and meta people, of there being a threat so big the regular soldiers can't handle it. So she convinces the local government.
You mean the United States?
Well, yeah, she works in a bigger playing field.
I mean, he's not wrong. It's like, the way a lot of movies operate, there's the government that we elect, and then there's the shadow government that never goes away.
Yeah.
Oh,
so
yeah,
she works for that shadow government.
Right, yeah. Just in movies.
Hey, if you try to, this is just like, I see what you're saying, and I used to believe that, and I'm not going to make this sort of serious talking about Louisiana. If they couldn't figure out Katrina in 2005, I don't think there's a shadow government.
Yeah.
Like, I just don't. It's like, if they couldn't figure that shit out, then I'm sorry, if there's an alien invasion, we're fucked.
Maybe there's a shadow government, they're just terrible at their jobs.
No, okay, so the shadow government is actually funded by Big Trailer, so...
It took me a second.
It's like, yes.
Yes, that makes so much sense. They've got a tornado machine. Anyway, so she convinces them, we've got some metahumans and super badasses, better than our own soldiers, in this deep, dark prison. Let's keep this plan aside. So something pops up that's so bad our regular guys can't handle it. We'll have put together a team of them. We're like, well, how are you going to do it? It's like, easy. We'll just put explosives in their neck connected to a remote control. So if they fuck off, we can just blow them up.
What if the Wi-Fi goes out?
It's a solid plan.
Man, you're fucking screwed.
I totally considered doing that with you guys.
Oh, no.
It's like, hey, can you make it to a movie tonight? I can't. Oh, really?
So who would be the Slipknot in this situation?
Oh, God.
Richard.
Yeah. You know, here's the thing, and this is a minor spoiler, quite frankly, because you should be able to tell this from the trailer. So they set this thing up at the beginning with, like, showing little bios of all the major stars of this thing. And then the only one of the supervillains that they've got in this group that they don't do that with is Slipknot.
Even his intro, it's like, oh, yeah, here comes this guy. He can climb up stuff.
I love his description. He can climb anywhere. It's like, that's his superpower?
Squirrel Girl could kick his ass.
He's basically as powerful as a Boy Scout.
One of my favorite visualizations in my head. I haven't read all the comics, but I imagine he's a bigger character in the comics.
He's not.
Okay. Well, even if he's in more than one issue, let's say, there's someone out there who that's his favorite character.
Oh.
And probably a guy who likes the band.
Oh, God.
Like, if you name a character after a bad band like Slipknot, you're making him a huge mistake.
Slipknot came before the band Slipknot.
Yeah.
Okay, well. I'm waiting for a versus issue of him versus Nickelback. So that's a badass.
Well, all the issues are the same.
Yeah.
Slipknot just comes on screen. That dude is so excited to see Slipknot.
It was like me when I watched X-Men Apocalypse. It's like, I'm a horrible person, but Jubilee's my favorite character.
Oh, shit.
And it's like,
awesome, like you and Josh Whedon.
And I'm like, you're not going to do anything with her.
Yeah. Well, yes. Her stuff's on the cutting room floor.
But, you know, I mean, they have to throw somebody in there to go.
Their red shirt.
To be a red shirt, to go like, oh, guys, by the way, we're not just telling you you have explosives in your neck. You have explosives in your neck. Somebody's got to die. It happened in the animated one they did, too.
Assault on Arkham, which is a much better film than this.
It's pretty damn good, actually.
Yes, it is. It's a lot of fun.
He's out of the picture out relatively quick. But who do we got here? We got Margot Robbie as Harley Quinn, who is playing more of the version from the video game series.
Or the
New 52, which was, I believe they got that version.
It was inspired by the video game, but they made her more skanky.
I will say this, like, she does a good job of making the role her own. Like, I sort of see her as Harley Quinn now.
I kind of agree with you, actually. I think of everybody, I thought she was one of the least offensive people in this movie, although some people may disagree based on gender issues.
Yeah,
to be sure. But I thought she kind of owned it, actually.
Okay. Before you get to the next person,
yes,
I think that we should all praise that the Millennium is back.
Yes, it's here, and I like it.
The what?
This was the heralding of the return of the Millennium.
Oh, my God, I miss Will Smith so much.
Oh, that's true.
Oh.
Yeah, because Will Smith plays Deadshot, the guy who can't miss, who's a hitman for hire, who is definitely the... If there's a front runner for main character of this movie, it's him.
Yeah.
And
it's Will Smith.
He chose to do this movie.
Honestly, it's the first time I've seen him lead a summer movie type of film.
Yeah.
That I actually kind of enjoyed him in for a very long time.
He's the best thing in the movie.
He's definitely the best.
I thought all that was gone. Yeah, I thought all that was gone. It was never coming back. I was glad to see it.
Well, I think it's a speed he knows he has, but he wants an Oscar. And I'm not trying to be funny. He wants an Oscar so bad.
I'm saying, get it here.
That like
he'll get MTV movie.
He's
award.
Like refusing to do that work because he doesn't think he's going to get one eventually if he keeps on doing that stuff.
Yeah, it's time to go back to where your strength was. Yeah. And don't make any more movies with giant robot spiders.
And don't be the devil in Winter's Tale anymore.
Oh, shit. Yeah, I forgot about that.
His motivation here is basically they humanize him the most, where even though, yes, he doesn't give a fuck, he's a killer. He does it for money.
He's just six gunning it.
He loves his daughter.
Yes, brother running it.
To be fair, that's accurate to the comics. I mean, Deadshot, I mean, he lives by a code, though. He doesn't kill civilians, he doesn't kill women, he doesn't kill children.
He's
you hire me to do a job, I do it. So.
Which is why, in the comics for years now, he's been the easiest to switch to the other side villain.
Yeah,
I think.
Exactly.
Then you've got Jai Courtney as a Boomerang.
Captain
for maybe Boomerang. The first time I can ever remember seeing him actually being allowed to use his accent.
Yeah.
And he should always be allowed to use his
accent. It was better.
I think that's what's been holding him back. Because normally he's such a block of wood.
He's
so useless.
I guess because he's got that, like, intimidating type square face. Like, they always have him not say much, but he's terrible in the Divergent movies too, and wasn't
Evil
Jack
Macklemore.
Reacher. Yeah, and I think from this performance, he's a funny dude. He's able to express a lot of things. I think he should be allowed to do more.
I wish he was
on face like a side of beef.
Yeah.
And then you have Jay Hernandez as El Diablo, a character I was completely unfamiliar with.
He's new.
Is he really new?
I think so. Heard of him. He's been in the Suicide Squad before, I'm pretty sure.
Okay, yeah, I believe he is pretty damn new. It's a new 52-ish.
Yeah, that's it.
He's one of the characters that these comic book companies, because they are, and I'm just saying that they're looking more to diversity.
Sure.
They're starting to use the comic books as, like, IP farms.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's the reason, like, Riri Williams is the new Iron person in Marvel.
Yeah. Okay.
Because they're preparing for 10 years from now when Robert Downey Jr. can't be it, and it's like, okay, well, we got to get a new person. We were stuck with all these white guys from the 40s, so we're going to just plant some seeds now so that when we need to recast, we can recast with a more diverse cast.
You'll have Robbie Reyes as Ghost Rider in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, which, very true. Yeah. But he's actually found him vaguely interesting for two reasons. One, he wants nothing to do with this because he's decided, like, he accidentally killed his whole family with his flame
powers.
And he's like, I'm never going to use my power against anybody else ever again. I'm never going to hurt anybody. Even though the guy looks like the scariest gang guy you've ever seen in your life.
Well, let's be honest here, fellas. Yeah, he's not going to get a job job with the face test.
No. The guys, even McDonald's would give a big no to that.
You're not going
to
see him as an admin somewhere, the receptionist. Like, hello, holding for two.
Maybe 100 years from now or maybe, something, when everybody has big, stupid face tattoos.
I will say he was...
get to that point.
I will say, like, J.N.N., he really pulls off an emotional range. Now, he was the most sympathetic character to me. I mean, it's an easy sympathy, but he's blaming himself for something that I honestly think probably wasn't his fault. Like, because, I mean, there's a point towards the end, and I'm not going to spoil it, where the extent of his powers is revealed, and so you sort of get more insight into what probably happened.
Yeah, I actually have, like, that was the other second thing I was going to say that I liked about it. There's a reveal in the third act about where his powers come from that I actually thought, oh, that was pretty cool.
Oh, I think I missed that.
Okay, fair enough.
Well, you did have to sort of read into it, though. Like, you had to, like, it didn't really explain it well.
Yeah.
Adewale Akinnuoye Agbaji, which
Mr.
I believe
Echo.
I'm actually saying right
it's
now.
It's pronounced Mr.
You did
Echo.
It right.
Is playing Killer Croc, who is covered up with so much makeup, honestly, it could have been almost anybody under there.
Yeah.
But he manages to emote just enough through there in the few moments he's given in the film to do anything.
He has a few facial tics that he's got.
Yeah, I mean, he's doing a lot when the camera, when he's not the primary guy on camera, which you got to hand it to him. You're like, hey, he's actually, you know, he's being Killer Croc-ish while he's not the focus of the
I mean, Killer Croc is one of the lesser Batman villains, and he doesn't have much of a personality outside of, like, I just eat people, and I'm kind of a thug.
Yeah.
And in here, he's kind of used to that extent, but they use him a lot for humor in this film.
Very true.
He's sort of the Drax of the movie a little bit.
I think even Drax had more personality and character than...
Well, they had five characters. More.
No, I mean, that's kind of the role he was trying to fill. I agree.
Meanwhile, there's two people there watching him. There's Joel Kinnaman as Rick Flagg, the all-business, no-nonsense, total prick of a soldier guy.
Exactly. Accurate to the comics. Yeah. That's what Flagg is.
He's the Harry Stamper, all go, no quit.
Yeah, pretty much.
Armageddon.
Who is there largely because, like, who's been manipulated without even realizing it by Amanda Waller because... Cara Delevingne...
Something got him manipulated.
Cara Delevingne plays an archaeologist named June Moon. That's her name, June Moon. That's what it says.
She sounds like a Neil Young song.
She does, totally. Who... discovered an artifact that got her possessed by the spirit of a 6,000-year-old magician called the Enchantress.
Once again, it was an Aztec god.
It's an ancient god. The only way they're able to control her is because apparently they have her heart, and so she has to obey or switch back and forth. But Amanda set it up so she and Joel, in her human form, hit it off. But now they're like, "Oh, we're gonna set this whole thing in motion here by her being the first of the group." And unfortunately, she breaks away rather easily, breaks open another little pod, archaeological artifact, releases her badass, big, bad CG brother. And
emphasis on the bad CGI brother.
And they proceed to start, like, destroying the city in the way that even Superman would be jealous of.
Like, I thought it was weird that her brother was the weird monster thing from the first Thor movie.
He was the Destroyer.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. He reminded me of...
He's like Japanese the Destroyer.
I don't know this character's name, but Enchantress's big brother, he was like an after effect from the Gods of Egypt's film.
Yeah,
you know, he was like that. I mean, it was that quality of CGI.
He looked pretty awful.
Yeah.
Anytime they did.
He looked fine.
I don't know.
Well, I mean, here's the thing.
He was inexplicably samurai-ish. I mean, like, why do you look like a big glowing samurai?
I thought he looked like an
Aztec. Since they were from a South American location. Spanish.
I see what you're saying with samurai, but to me, he more evoked, like, classic, like, Kirby design with some of his, like, he sort of looked like a mini
Kirby
Galactus.
Design?
Yeah.
I thought you meant like the giant pink thing that swallows.
No, sorry, Jack Kirby.
That would have been interesting.
But you know, we're missing because she doesn't really.
Karen Fukuhara is Katana, who works for the group, and she's got a sword that swallows people's souls, including the soul of her husband, who was murdered by the guy who originally had the sword. Yeah.
It's a really cool idea.
She's kind of broken a little bit.
She's like Rick Flagg's bodyguard.
Listens to a lot of Evanescence.
Yeah, probably.
Can't wake up.
She's the only badass ninja in the world wearing a half shirt.
She has the same problem as Ahsoka has in Star Wars Clone Wars. It's like, how are you supposed to be a badass when your midriff showing? And that's not me trying to be sexist. It's more of me saying they should, like, Katana in the comics actually for a long time has been wearing more than that. And it's like, look, just let her wear more and let her not wear a big fucking bow on her back.
Well, I think
yeah, that bow was annoying was the weird, shit out of me.
Yeah. I think that's key to one of the problems with the new DC universe for me personally is that they not only just want to make it darker in a very sort of like, I don't know, hip-hop video sort of darker.
Exploitative.
Like, not the way that Nolan made things darker, kind of but in a very, like, fetishistic sort of way. But they're also trying to make it sexier. And also in a hip-hop video type
which
of way.
Which is like,
it's like, guys, where are you reading? I mean, do you think that this is the right transference point to make these characters that way?
But you can understand why they're doing it, because they got David Ayer to do it, and he loves that shit.
What has he made? What has he made?
I mean,
I'm not trying. I just don't know.
I mean, he's probably mostly
known for story on stuff rather than script.
He wrote the script to Training Day, but he's best his biggest films have been End of Watch and Fury, which are two very good movies. But then he's done some garbage, it's
like Sabotage, which was between those two movies.
Awful.
End of Watch was okay.
Yeah,
End of Watch is really good.
Yeah, no, End of Watch.
He
is
wrote
great.
The original Fast and the Furious,
Street Kings.
So he wrote 571.
So he wrote Point Break. You said the original Fast and the Furious.
Yeah,
like,
he rewrote Point Break.
Okay, Elliot, we don't need to have problems right now. Let's go ahead and move on.
Okay, Chance the Rapper.
Did you notice Scott Eastwood in there? He was just one of
he just kind of showed up. Soldiers.
My daddy got me a role in a big movie picture.
It's like, wait, don't you actually have some degree of screen recognition? He's no, it's not me. I'm not here. No, look away.
I'm wondering if he had a bigger role in this movie, but they cut like a lot of his scenes out.
It could have very well been.
Or he's going to show up in other movies.
I thought
he's not going to make it in this one, but not that that's a spoiler at all, because literally he barely counts as a character.
It's almost weird that he was a recognizable face in that role, because he was just like, because there was Flag, and then he has his main bodyguard, and he was like captain of the B-Squad.
Expendables.
He had like three lines that were just generic military lines.
Yeah. Personally, if I were a big famous actor person, I would love to have a shitty bit part in a big movie. You get paid like $50, you get free food, and you're like, hey, look, I get to keep my SAG card.
You mean you want to be the Matt Damon in Euro Trip?
Say I'm Matt Damon.
We don't want to be Matt.
He was so good in that part.
Now, we haven't even mentioned the thing that has been one of the most controversial things about this movie, and probably one of the most disliked by the critics from reviews, which is Jared Leto's portrayal of the Joker here. And I don't even know if it's necessarily as much his portrayal of the Joker so much as he seems kind of unnecessary to be here at all. Like, it just feels a little crowbarred in having him in this movie. And I'm with you, though. I think his performance is just ridiculous.
If felt like if Harley was going to be in it and be such a huge character, you almost can't have Harley without the Joker.
Mm-hmm. I mean, go ahead, Ellie.
No, you go.
But I'm speaking, like, from a novice.
Yeah, sure. I can understand that. Well, I mean, Harley, like, I'm a big fan of the Suicide Squad, like, in the comics. I owned the first issue of John Ostrander's Suicide Squad. It came out in 1987. I love the concept of it. Sit back home.
That was second wave Suicide Squad.
Yeah, they had the original, which was like was in the 50s.
World War II thing.
Yeah, and it was like Rick Flag, and yeah, it was a World War II thing. But I have the original Silver Age issue, so I'm a big fan. And you know, eventually they've incorporated different characters of the Suicide Squad over the years because they keep fucking dying. That's kind of the point. And Harley Quinn was introduced kind of in the most recent wave, like the New 52 wave. And maybe she was... What? Oh, sorry.
The cats are eating
Elliot's head. But Harley Quinn was introduced kind of in the New 52 wave of the Suicide Squad. And the Joker didn't really play such a larger role in that. So it kind of... In that case, it kind of worked, even though it was the weird New 52 bullshit. But with Jared Leto's Joker, he is fucking awful in this fucking film. I'm like... Was he even working from the script? Like, I think Richard said when he was talking about Jesse Eisenberg's Lex Luthor, like, was he working from the script? It's like he just kind of walked in from a completely different movie. And just do whatever you want, Jared.
But
do the crazy shit that you want to do and masturbate into your goddamn condoms and then throw them at the people. I just want to... And the thing is, like, he's like a very sexual character in this movie where he's like assaults, what's his name?
Common?
No.
That was Common.
Yeah. I wasn't sure. Another guy, you're like, why are you here?
He's the $50 keep my SAG card.
I was like, yeah, exactly. Common should have been the Joker. He's a better actor, I think.
Hey, no.
But the Bell...
You've never watched his Western show. He's great.
He's
to be fair, Common was amazing. amazing. He was amazing in Just Right.
I don't think I saw that.
Queen Latifah in Common, a romantic comedy from 2000.
He's pretty good in John Wick.
He actually is a pretty good actor.
He's great.
He was great in Barbershop, the next cut.
But I couldn't tell. I was so busy staring at what's-her-name's ass the whole time.
Nicki Minaj.
Yeah. Oh, which is a character in that movie, for the record.
Character. Yeah. But he almost sexually assaults one of the Belle Reve prison guards. I forget the actor's name, but it's so weird. And the actor seemed to not know what the fuck was going on. Yeah, how do you react off of that when someone who's clearly not on a script at all?
But that's the point. Like, I really liked Jared Leto as a Joker because it did feel like he came from a different movie, because it should, because the Joker in several different versions of the Joker is from a different movie. He's from a different world. He's from a different world where Jaleesa and Freddy are on the screen.
Yeah. I didn't mind it as much because I think, there have been different types of Jokers. There have been just kind of more playful.
Hell, they've even set it up. There's even a thing in the comics now where Batman discovers there has been more than one Joker.
Yeah.
Which I actually kind of like that. I was like, that's like a reasonable explanation.
I mean, they'll spell it away.
Well, I didn't mind his take on the Joker. Like, that was his choice to make. And he was probably actually directed towards that.
Maybe.
But the one thing I thought as I was watching it was like, oh shit, he's going to be in other movies.
Yeah. Yes, he is. Just like Jesse Eisenberg.
That was my problem with it.
I will say, I didn't like him as much as I thought I would, but when I thought about it after seeing it, we didn't see very much footage of him. I didn't mind his look is really what I ended up not minding.
I still think he's Jason Todd. I really think, if you look at his size and just how young he looks, they're going to say he's straight up Jason Todd.
That is such a waste of the Red Hood storyline. I'm sorry, but it is. That's true.
I tend to agree.
Because
I like the Red Hood storyline.
Yeah, under the Red Hood, the comic is good. There's some problems with it.
Yeah. You're right.
But the animated movie is one of the best DC animated films. Yeah, it's so good.
Definitely in the top five.
And I get what you're saying. Like, that would be interesting, the fact that he is the Joker. Maybe the old Joker is around and we don't know, or maybe he's dead, but he took over that role after he was tortured or psychologically messed up.
What he did to Harley.
Sure. But at the same time, it's like, I would prefer just to see a true take on Under the Red, the true return of Jason Todd.
But here's my point. It's like, I feel like we got our definitive take on the Joker with Heath Ledger. At this point, I'm fine with seeing
live action. Sure.
Well, live action,
a very Elseworlds sort of.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. I'm fine with seeing other versions, even if it's not even if it's a wildly different take. But I love that he was so out of left field that I'm like, yeah, you would fuck with the Batman. Like, you just don't know better.
I don't disagree with you per se, but my biggest problem was that I didn't feel like he meshed very well with Margot Robbie as
Harley
Quinn, the way she's written in this movie. Like, they really try to sell the classical relationship between the two of them, how she's formed as of the Batman animated series, and it didn't sell with this type of Joker to me. And that was my biggest problem. So much of the screen time is with him, is with her as well.
Well,
so
he really was unnecessary, too.
They could have ruined him out. They could have wrote out, spoiler, it's in the trailer. They could have wrote out Batman.
Yeah, who's very briefly in
I tell you, when he's in, it's like, honestly, I just want to see a Ben Affleck Batman movie. That's all I want. Just I don't want to see Justice League. Give me Ben Affleck Batman. Yeah. Give me Batfleck Man.
I agree.
I would have wanted that had I not seen Batman v Superman. And his take on Batman.
Even then, I don't
want Murder Man. I'm sorry.
I thought he was good as Batman. It's just the stuff they had him do wasn't good.
I agree with that.
But apparently the word is that they're going to have a bit in the Justice League where he learned his lesson from the events of the last one. And now he's decided not to kill. You know what? Whatever they have to do to fix it at this point, I'll be like, I hope 10 years from now I'll go, man, that fucking DC movie universe started out rough, but they finally got on their feet.
But about that idea of fixing things, I mean, I think too many times movies try to do that based on early word of mouth, from the internet and things that people say, why reshoots happen. In this case, I mean, reshoots to make it funnier, like Deadpool. Some of the times it was pretty obvious and it worked, and other times it didn't. And yeah, I feel like too many movies do kind of try to, go back and right wrongs and
movie by focus group.
Yeah, and that, I don't think that's the way to go about it. I think filmmakers are best when they stick to their guns. I mean, good or bad, I think I think when movies are made by focus group, I don't think that works. Like,
at least as an ethos.
Yeah, because, you know. Yeah.
In practice, though. Whoa, no, no.
I mean,
listen.
I think that, like, and maybe I'm being more fair to this because of how much I despised Batman v Superman and in general didn't like Man of Steel that much. I mean, I think this movie is practically Citizen Kane compared to both of those films. And and especially after going in, waking up this morning and seeing lots of negative reviews, I went in with the lowest bar possible set for this thing and came out of it going, it was all right. You know? I mean, I laughed several times. There was some cool action sequences. No. I like all the character design except for the Joker.
Yeah. Well, you did most of the music.
I love the music.
I actually did want to talk about that.
I thought the music was great.
Let's talk about the music.
I felt like sometimes it really worked and sometimes it didn't, and it went from specific track to track way too often.
At least in the beginning.
When it didn't work, it was pretty obvious, and it kind of took me out of the movie.
Well, the beginning, I feel like they had a bunch of notes where they said, Guardians of the Galaxy did really well. Yeah. Let's have each montage have a song.
I gotta admit, I barely noticed the music because so many of these films... I mean, this felt like such a just, you know, generic summer action-like movie. A tentpole film that was like one of those movies that if it wasn't connected to a recognizable franchise, you would have gone like, yeah, I saw that. It was all right.
Yeah.
You know? You're like, I don't really have that many negative feelings about it. It has a lot of the same flaws that summer movies have more often than not. Like, really weak moments of CG interspersed with some stuff that does look cool. Some of the humor works, some of the humor doesn't, you know? I mean, like, overall, this is just kind of average.
Yeah, but I mean, the music switches too often from, like, just kind of jarring things that don't mesh to things that are just... misused. Like, there's that Rolling Stones song that's often used in Vietnam War scenes. And just a completely wrong
it's like, oh, this person's a super bad person, so we're going to do Sympathy for the Devil.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, for fuck's sake. Like, now that's what I called licensed music, 14. That's what it felt like.
So our studio already owns the rights to this song, so we're going to put it in.
Throw it in.
It's like, it works so well for Guardians of the Galaxy. It's like, yes, they also picked a bunch of really obscure but pretty damn cool songs to put on their soundtrack.
Yes, and also, like, you know, people go, oh, the Guardians of the Galaxy soundtrack was so good and they had all these songs, and it's true, but, like, the thing that I think DC, and I'm again, I actually like this movie, but DC doesn't get that Marvel gets is that you have to earn this stuff. So if you're going to have this really eclectic soundtrack, they built part of their plot around that soundtrack.
Yeah.
It was the tape that Star-Lord had from his mom. Like, it was important. That's the reason all that music was there. But if you're just going to put music in without having a point to it, even something that was thematically the same, it's just going to come off as cheap.
I mean, overall, things like that, I mean, that is kind of the overall biggest misstep in the DC Extended Universe franchise as a whole in that. Like, Marvel did it first, and they did it way earlier than you guys. Like
learn from
live with that, and just take your time to catch up. Don't try to skip steps to catch up to them now, because you're not going to do it.
Because they have good steps. Like, they're skipping very good steps. Like, I would love to see the Ezra Miller Flash before Justice League.
Right.
Because everything from the trailer for Justice League, just the trailer for Justice League where Ezra Miller, like, dodges the Batarang, he looks like a good Flash, and I like the other Flash TV show.
Okay, I gotta say, I hate his stupid Flash outfit.
I do, too.
I like that outfit.
I think it's okay.
It's New 52
Flash. I'm not angry. I'm just like, whatever.
He's not playing Photon here, fellas.
Their argument is that, oh, well, he moves so fast, the costume kept burning off, so he had to wear, like, shielding from a space shuttle or something, and I'm like, I don't care. That's never happened in the comics for good reason, because it doesn't make sense if your whole thing is to move really fast to have body armor on.
And with eye holes.
Damn it, man. You just broke the Flash
Force. Well, I'm just saying. Just say Speed Force. Speed Force puts a speed bubble around his speediness.
Yeah, that's the excuse in the comic. The Speed Force protects him.
Can we talk about how terrible the dialogue is in some places in this
some place.
Places at points
it's to me because
own it, it you have to own it,
take it on home, Herman,
because the thing about during those moments, like, you talked about, like, El Diablo and, like, that really those moments with him, like, talking about his family, that really humanizes him. If it wasn't just so awkward and just ham-fisted, like, we're going to make you care about this character.
The biggest problem is, you're right, the biggest problem is with emotional moments, even if they work within just the context of that character, they're so ham-handedly placed into the storyline.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, there are moments where it's like, why are we talking about this right now?
Well, there's a giant... Another thing, this is weird. In every superhero film, like, for the past, I don't know,
20 years, there's always like this beam of energy shooting up in the sky of trash around it or whatever.
Not that that's what happens here. You know, spoilers here. That doesn't happen here, guys.
Why can't someone just fight bank robbers for once?
Well, okay, Bo.
well, like in this movie, when the big bad finally like gets to rolling, my thought was like, okay, so they're like kind of meta. This is where we actually need real fucking superheroes.
Yeah,
this is a bit out of their league.
Well, you know, I mean, like, Batman would probably be about the same level as them.
Well,
to some degree.
Well, he would have had a plan or something.
But, also, Superman's dead.
He would have been killing everybody.
Yeah, so. I was going to say, like, why not? You're right. He would have killed everyone in this universe anyway, so it's not like you don't get Batman because he refuses to kill. Wait,
they're very inconsistent about the timeline in this film where, okay, it takes place, like, everything, like, the present-day plot takes place when Superman is dead. But then there's like stuff like flashbacks where we see like with Deadshot with his daughter and things like that, and where Batman, spoiler, doesn't kill him. I mean, does that take place before or after Superman, you know? Or are we just not killing him because he's Will Smith and he was
And I'm not trying to be flip. I just honestly think DC just bets that the audience isn't going to care.
No, I mean, I'm curious
about the timeline in general, because I do feel like one of the biggest ways, I mean, there are a lot of ways Batman vs Superman shot itself in the foot, but I mean, in continuity wise, the biggest way they do it is they introduce Batman and then they say that he's been at it for 20 years. So he's a really old Batman and Bruce Wayne. Like, I feel like we've missed out on a lot of really cool shit.
Because lots of
dead supervillains.
Well, yeah. I mean, Batman lived in Boston. He used to be the Daredevil. Like, he had a stint with Jennifer Lopez.
Apparently he used to be Moon Knight. He's kind of crazy.
He's like, yeah. We saw a lot of what Batman went through, and 10 years of that wasn't good.
No.
Hey, reindeer games.
Oh, Jesus. I had just wiped that out of my memory. I had worked so long to get that out of joke. It all comes rushing back like a lost flashback. Thanks so much.
And then he met some girl. He chased her around. It was weird. It was
fine. All right, let's go into final thoughts. We've already been 34 minutes on this thing. So, okay. Elliot, take the lead on this one. Elliot. You take the high point. Okay. Chris will take the high road. Chris will take the low road, and the rest of us will go between y'all. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I got to say, there's a lot. Anybody who doesn't like this movie, I can agree with what you're saying. But just, if I'm being honest, I had so much fun watching this movie. Mm. And I am not a DC guy, but it was like putting on a very, it's like putting on my favorite shirt. That Will Smith was back in a summer movie, just being fun Will Smith.
Oh, because it was the summertime.
It was like, it wasn't Will Smith where he has that face where he needs to look sad, so he acts like he's doing math in his head, so that he looks like his brow was furrowed. It was Will Smith. There was a part where I really, honest to God, expected him to say "Welcome to Midway," because like he just punches out like everybody. He just like kills everybody, and I'm like, "Come on, say it." And then you got Jared Leto, who I liked as Joker, and honestly, I thought there's a lot wrong. And I'm not saying this is an ideal romance. Let me be careful before I go too far down this rabbit hole. Like, I'm not saying it's a model of a healthy relationship, but he does care about Harley. Like, he goes
in his way,
in his Joker addled way. So moving on to other people, because there's so many.
Yeah.
Only person that, I mean, I like Margot Robbie. She was really good. Only person I really didn't like in this movie, because I feel like he could have been played better by like a Josh Duhamel, was like Joel Kinnaman.
Yeah.
Because like, if you're gonna, that's such a vanilla role. You don't need to get like, he should sort of sink into the background. He shouldn't be so bad that I notice him because he's bad. It's like, man, dude, just get off the screen. You should be killed off and let Deadshot lead this team. Like, that would have made a better movie. I like the soundtrack, but if I had one problem with this movie, it felt like at times I was watching Saturday Night Live, where some skits,
too long.
Yeah, some skits hit really good. Some skits sort of middle. The Weekend Update carries you through to 11 and 11:30. But then you get to the last half hour, and it just, all of a sudden, people are dancing and destroying the world. And you're like, I don't know what the fuck's going on. So for all that, if I'm being really honest, I got to give this a 7 Welcome to Earths out of 10.
Welcome to JC? Earth.
I mean, overall, I liked it. It's definitely got a lot of problems. I think the bulk of its problems stem from obvious reshoots. A lot of what I'd seen from other reviews, and I didn't specifically read any reviews. I just kind of read a bunch of headlines. Was that it's just kind of a big maniacal mess on the screen with a bunch of stuff thrown at it. And I mean, based on the trailers, it's kind of what I was expecting. And for a superhero movie that's going to be sort of middle of the road like this, a lot of the stuff is subjective. And I think it kind of comes down to sort of like kind of why I like Batman vs. Superman. It's where your sensibilities lie and things that you like and things that you don't like. And for me, I just kind of had a lot of fun with the things that I liked. I liked Margot Robbie as Harley Quinn. As soon as she was announced, I felt like she was a perfect Harley Quinn. I would have liked if she had more of her Brooklyn accent, like from Wolf of Wall Street, because that's sort of how I remember Harley from and it's in there a little bit. But yeah, I remember her from the Batman the Animated Series, and I wanted that accent Harley Quinn out of Margot Robbie because I felt like she could do it. And a couple times she delivers on that. Will Smith was great. I'm not a huge fan of Joel Kinnaman. Viola Davis, awesome. I didn't know how much she was going to be in this. Didn't know how really intimidating her character was going to be, but I was blown away by her. And even when I read a lot of the things, how she didn't put up with a lot of Jared Leto's shit, seeing her performance here, you believe that. Wow. Like, there's no way she absolutely put up with any of his shit. Yeah, I'm still on board with the DC universe. I'm not, I wouldn't call myself necessarily a DC fanboy or anything like that, but I'm still in on this franchise and this series, and I'm excited to see where it goes. A lot of things didn't work for this, but most of it did. A lot of fun. I'd get a lot of rewatch value out of it. I would give it 7 out of 10 weird tattoos. Joe?
Well, it's unnecessary. Mm-hmm. The entire thing is completely unnecessary. I don't even think it's going to make that much money for them, like, honestly. So even as like an investment, I don't think this was necessary.
$175 million.
Yeah, Jesus, so it's got a hill to climb.
It's tough.
Yeah. Everything about this was just expected. As far as like, if, as an actor, you should have at least this level of acting chops. You know, as a director, you're like, okay, well, you should at least figure out that you need to shoot these scenes. You know,
yeah,
like all of it was just, okay, that's cool. You get a C+ on your film school final. You do. I don't really feel strongly about it because there's nothing to feel strong about. I mean, the only thing that I could is that, at least with these Zack Snyder movies, and I'm not saying that this is his fault, but all of these...
You can blame him. You deserve some blame for this.
Every,
his fingerprints are on it.
Every grand machination and clever twist is fucking lame and watered. It's like children are more deceptive than these plots. So that's my big bitch about it, is that everything else is like, okay, well, you know what? You showed up to work, you were there for at least 8 hours, and then you got paid and went home. Like, that's it. So for that, I'm gonna give it 4.5 face tattoos.
Yeah, I think at its weakest is exactly what you're describing, the fact that the plot is just so simplistic a child could come up with it. There's just not much actually going on. It's more of a service to introduce a wider swath of the characters in the DC universe. That's mainly its reason for existing, than it is to tell a good story in and of itself. But, that being said, it's largely saved by the fact that most of these characters are actually pretty entertaining to watch and have pretty damn good chemistry with each other, with, like I said, the notable exception, for me anyway, of the Joker, which I just did not care for this interpretation of whatsoever. But I did like a lot of the people in there. I thought Will Smith just kind of nails it in this film. He is by far is the most accessible character and the most funny character in the film.
Which is true. But he's just fulfilling the Will Smith expectation.
He completely is.
He's not exceeding it.
No, you're not wrong. And that's the thing. Ultimately, this is just an average summer movie. There's nothing about this that stands up to pretty much anything that Marvel has done since Iron Man. Even the weakest Marvel films like Thor 2, I still think are better than this.
Yeah, you know? I mean, you're
I'll agree
wrong.
To that. I'll agree to that.
And that's sad.
Yeah, it is sad, but God. It's still miles, miles better than
that's so
the previous two films, Man of Steel or Batman v Superman. So, at best, I say, hey, you're going in the right direction. You just... maybe it's just you just got to get Zack Snyder the hell out of the room.
Oh,
I don't know if that's the real
cut him out like a goddamn
problem,
tumor.
But like, it's something went wrong. David Ayers has had a lot of quality stuff in his resume, and I'm shocked this is actually as just not mediocre. Isn't bad. It's not as bad as mediocre, but it's almost. It's just in the middle, and I feel like I'll have forgotten almost anything about this except for Will Smith and Margot Robbie in this film like a year from now, because they're the only two parts of it that really, really stand out.
We should have got Focus 2.
Yeah, we should have. And then we could have hated it a lot more.
Or did we get Focus 2?
I'm going to give it 6 out of 10 pink unicorns. And finishing us out with the bottom level of attack journalism is Chris Herman. Take us home.
Okay. I will start with the positives.
Rub my hands together in glee for this.
Keep doing it. Will Smith is good in this film. He is. Yes, he's playing Will Smith, but he kind of fulfills the role that Deadshot has fulfilled in the comics for Suicide Squad. He does a great job. I mean, he's funny when he needs to be. He's charismatic when he needs to be. And there's clearly some emotion there. I think some of the scenes with his daughter were cringeworthy. That actress, it's like, damn, she made, what's his name, his freak son look pretty damn good.
Damn!
Yeah. I say freak because he's out of his mind. Anyway.
It's like, I'm not homophobic.
No. he's just annoying. It's like, there's a squinty face. Anyway. He looks like he's constipated in every photo shoot. Anyway, okay. Aside from that. Margot Robbie's okay. Her ass gives a good performance, I think.
It's tight.
It certainly is.
Is it the 90s in here?
Yeah.
You know how old I am, right?
Yeah.
It never got past the 90s.
But seriously, like...
Explains the plaid.
Joke aside, like, she... Again, if she was just given better dialogue and just a better story, she would excel as Harley Quinn. Like, it's there. This movie has so much goddamn potential. Some of the other supporting performances, Jai Courtney's Captain Boomerang. I wish he was in the movie more. Because he's pretty much there to be the comic relief. Killer Croc, again, comic relief. The rest of the characters, I can't remember some of them. And I've read The Suicide Squad. Yeah, now to the negatives.
That was the most.
That was the positive.
That was the most like, weak water, like positive.
I think you meant the neutrals.
So,
like damning with faint praise.
Jesus Christ.
I mean, the other supporting.
You're never giving my eulogy, sir.
No, I'm not.
Elliot was a guy I knew.
Not entirely.
Sometimes was okay.
Sometimes did not completely smell of elderberries.
Then, yeah, the rest of the supporting performances in the movies are just so goddamn forgettable. Slipknot, who gives a shit? Katana, I'm like, okay, thank you for doing the most ham-fisted origin story ever. It's like, it just felt so awkward. Most of the background stories and origin stories for all these characters just feel awkward and like, okay, we gotta get this going. Come on, we gotta start the DC universe. Come on, let's go. That is just obnoxious. Like, Viola Davis is Amanda Waller. She has a lot of potential. If her dialogue just wasn't so bad as it is, it's just like, God damn it. Like, she is definitely that character. Aside from that, Jared Leto, you're fucking awful in this film. Stop it. I wish they killed him off in the movie. He is just...
I wish his dad had been wearing a costume.
Exactly. Yeah, and then...
You know, save your dad.
What's the thing? The best part of you was what your mom wiped off on the side of her thigh?
Yeah.
That's pretty much...
His
Joker. I think that's a quote somewhere. I don't know.
It's, something
yeah,
like that.
Yeah. I think Gandhi said it. He's awful in the film. But the thing... It's just... The thing that bothers me about this movie is that, again, there's just so much wasted potential. The Suicide Squad is an interesting concept. There's so many great characters. And the way that they just just don't care. They don't expand it. Like, okay, we're going to have this giant CGI battle. The CGI looks like shit. And like you see, like you guys said, it's clearly this is all done with reshoots. I mean, a lot of the action was reshot. It's just, it's so, it's just like, I was just sitting there and just after a while, when the third act was happening and when they're fighting the giant goo monsters and the reject from God's Beach, I was like, fine, whatever, keep going. At this point, I'm just like,
Burn. You're like, are you sure, Chris?
Yeah.
Are you sure? Because we can stop.
I wish, ever think about this?
I wish they did that. At this point, I'm just like, burn it. Burn it all.
Yeah.
Just start.
Scorch the earth.
Start over. This DC universe that you have, it's just so, it's a tumor. It's like a deformity of what, I grew up with DC. I did. My introduction to superheroes was Batman the Animated Series. I love these characters. I love their D-list characters. And like in the Suicide Squad. Like in Suicide Squad, but here it's just like, it's clear you have people in charge who don't give a shit. I mean, I have little hope for the future of the DC universe with, or as I like to call it, the DC cinematic, or Zack Snyder's DC cinematic murderverse. this is just, I'm like, I don't fucking care anymore. So Justice League, don't care, Wonder Woman, fine, I'll see it, but
Wonder Woman looks good.
Yeah, I'm down for one.
I can't wait to see Gal Gadot awkwardly say her lines, you know, when she's given that horrible dialogue. So, no, she's terrible. I'm sorry, she's bad. To me, this is 2 out of 10 slaps in the face of John Ostrander.
Damn.
Yeah, and fuck you, Zack Snyder.
I don't even know how to say anything funny after that. I feel like... You know,
you get it in there.
It's just like that awkward moment. You're like, should we go? Chris is like, I'm gonna kill anyone who says a good word about this film to me in this next week.
Enjoy, listeners.